We're recording. You're all squiggly.
You're all giggly. You did it wrong.
Shit. Good evening, Parents Hello. Night In fans.
Why are we doing this to people again?
I don't know. Hello!
These poor people did not pay for this kind of show.
Kelly, they don't pay for the show at all. It's free. It's free! Yeah.
Wait, it's free?
Yeah.
We're watching Singles.
We're watching Singles. So it's October. This movie came out in October.
And that's why we're watching it and done.
Well, it's a grunge music landmark film. Came out during like when grunge was exploding. So it has like a sort of authenticity about it. I saw it in the theater with a bunch of friends. I think it was the night that I temporarily broke up with my high school girlfriend. So it was...
You were full of angst.
I was full of angst.
So basically you were full of angst.
I was single.
You were full of angst. You were single, and you wanted to watch a movie about full of angst singles in an angst-ridden time and an angst-ridden city with a soundtrack of angst-ridden music.
Yes, music that I was just getting into at the time, too. I had just bought Soundgarden's Bad Motorfinger, the two Alice in Chains albums that were out at that point.
You must have walked out of that movie theater feeling like a ton of bricks.
Why?
Or like
maybe... I felt like Superman coming out of this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just... It was the music I was getting into.
I didn't know if the weight of the angst was going to.
No. I was very optimistic actually because my relationship at that point was not a very healthy one, so I was getting out of it. And then eventually we got back together, and it was much better.
Until you didn't end up marrying her and married me instead. Yay!
Okay, Kermit. I was like, okay, I'm moving on. This feels good, and this movie, it was like a good match for my mindset at that point.
I've never seen this whole movie.
You've never seen this whole movie. We tried to watch it once.
Yes, we did.
And what happened?
And my DVD player ate the DVD.
You've heard of VCRs eating tapes.
Yeah.
I had never heard of a DVD player eating a disc.
It just stopped halfway through the movie. And we couldn't never open opened it. Again.
we probably could have
jam it open and get the movie out? It was
If we did, it was much later.
Yeah, it was one of those like crappy $20 Walmart ones. And like, yeah, he was like, this is going to be so good. I think you're really going to like this movie. Chris Cornell's in it. Blah, blah. And so we're halfway through it. And I'm like, yeah, this movie's okay. And then, boom. Now, did we ever go back and watch it again?
Nope.
No. So
I have watched it since.
So now 15 years later.
15 years later, we're Justin finally going to watch this. It. It's a really fun movie. It's not like a masterpiece or anything, but...
What if I hate it?
I don't think you will.
What if I love it?
It's got a lot of good people in it. It's got a lot of great music in it. It's got Chris Cornell.
I love Chris. Chris is not here anymore.
I know.
And it makes me sad.
Another reason I wanted to watch this is because I just had a gig tonight with some friends of mine who are a Pearl Jam tribute band. And
yes.
I have been doing a Chris Cornell acoustic tribute act. So I've been... either opening for or sitting in with this Pearl Jam band. And I was like, Seattle music, let's watch fucking Singles, man.
Seattle, man. Bill Pullman?
Yep.
How come you didn't tell me Bill Pullman was in this?
My nemesis, Bill Pullman.
I wish I had known that Bill Pullman was in this movie. I would have watched it 10 years ago.
Bill Pullman's in this movie. He's the best actor of all times. This movie has that, what Werner Herzog called the voodoo of location. Where it's super immersive because of where it is, and like it makes you want to go to that location and explore it. And I would love to have been...
Go on the Singles tour.
I would love to, no, I would Seattle. Love to have been there for the Seattle scene when it happened. It must have just been very cool to experience.
Yeah.
Like this type of music is changing everything right now.
How could you not want to be where it exploded?
I want to be in the room where it happens. Hi, Kira Sedgwick.
She is barely aged.
Well, that's what happens when you're with Kevin Bacon. He's barely aged.
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen Kevin Bacon recently?
I won't say he's barely aged.
On the Instagram.
He looks great for his age, though. He's like 60 years old.
He does, but he's leathery now.
He still looks really good.
He looks...
He has not aged as much as his age.
No, but he's like... He looks old.
But he doesn't look old. Like, he's not wrinkly. I hope I age that well. She gave him her garage door opener.
And he gave her a promise ring.
Why did the light go blue?
That was weird. That was a weird directorial choice, Mr. Crowe.
It was.
You know, Cameron Crowe was like, makeouts, always blue.
Always blue. What are you, James Cameron? James Cameron Crowe?
1 degree of separation. Or is it 3? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Separation. How many? I don't know. I don't know.
Well, who's that lady?
Her friend and co-worker.
Oh, I meant the actress.
No idea. Gretchen Flaversham, I believe is her name.
Are you sure it's not Frederica Bimmel?
I'm Frederica Bimmel. I live in Seattle.
I'm not the same Frederica Bimmel that died. We just have the same name.
I'm a different Frederica Bimmel. Whereas she loved swimming and exercise, I prefer grunge and dancing.
Oh, it's her Spanish friend with another girl at a bar, even though he told her that he was going away. He's going back to Spain. He lied to her, that son of a Spanish
bitch! Son of a
bitch!
That son of a Spanish bitch. He's just going to pretend he doesn't know her?
Yep. She should have walked up to him and be like,
I would have smacked his
mouth. Can I have my garage door opener back, please? Would have been a nice cock block. This is Campbell Scott.
Do you think his real name is Scott Campbell and he switched it around for Hollywood needs?
Maybe. I think his real name is Scott Scott. And he said, that's boring. Campbell. Campbell is an interesting first name. Have you seen him in anything else?
I don't think so.
I've probably only seen him in a few things, but he was in a movie called The Spanish Prisoner.
Oh, yeah?
That's actually a really good movie. You should watch that. It's sort
when did
of
it
like
come out?
97? It's like a spy thriller kind of. Steve Martin's in it as a villain.
Oh!
And he's really good in it.
I'd love to see Steve Martin as a villain.
You should watch it. Huh. You would enjoy it, I think. I used to have it kind of bad for Bridget Fonda.
No, she's cute.
She's so pretty.
She's a perfect girl next door.
Yeah. A little bit nerdy. Citizen Dick.
That's the name of their band?
That's the name of their band, and it's him and some guys from Pearl Jam. Mm.
I thought you were going to say it's him and three guys named Dick.
Slightly biographical. I don't think they were called Citizen Dick, but Eddie Vedder actually used to be the drummer.
What is it with Eddie Vedder and Dave Grohl and like being the drummer and then kicking ass in front of the microphone? Yeah.
Phil Collins used to be the drummer.
That's right!
Yep.
What if they all made a band?
Phil Collins, Eddie Vedder, and Dave Grohl?
That would be a really cool super group.
It would, except they'd all play drums and sing.
Dave plays guitar.
It would be a little boring.
Dave plays guitar.
So does Eddie. No, they'd have to all play drums.
What would you call them?
Pearl Jam Foo.
Foo-jamasis.
Foo-jamasis. So Bridget Fonda is super into Matt Dillon and wants it to be like a serious relationship. And he's like, yeah, music is my thing. I can't be serious right now, you know, bro.
Pretty much every young lady goes through that moment in her life.
Yep.
She's with a guy who clearly doesn't care about her. And she's like, no, he loves me.
He loves me.
Why hasn't he called? He hasn't called me in a week. Oh, he sent me a message. He must love me. We're getting married. Go get my dress and bouquet. Don't forget my garter.
I need to throw it at the groom.
I just had a visual of a woman ripping off a garter and chucking it at the groom's face. That doesn't happen, does it?
No, it doesn't. I know. I'm not clear on the rules about the garter. It's very confusing to me.
No one ever read me the rules.
Do you know who that is?
Is that Chris?
No. It looks like Chris, though.
It really does.
I saw this, I thought that was Chris Cornell.
I don't know who it is. That mime is loud.
It's a very loud mime.
He screams a lot for a mime.
He's not very good at his job. You didn't recognize him?
Nope.
Eric Stoltz.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, now I see it.
Yeah. But yeah, totally at the time, I was like, Chris Cornell's playing a mime.
Yeah, it looked just like him.
It did.
He had that exact same facial hair back then.
Yeah, it's crazy. Alice in Chains, man. Like, I want to go to this fucking club when Alice in Chains and Soundgarden were playing at it.
So, at this point in Alice in Chains' career, were they very clearly Alice in Chains, or were they in their real-life career this new?
No. They were Alice in Chains.
Basically. Oh, okay. They were just sort of playing a new band?
They were playing themselves, but like...
But not stadium Alice in Chains.
Yeah. Like, they were still just about to get national Alice in Chains.
When we watched this in 05, I was not that familiar with Alice in Chains stuff yet.
Yeah.
So now this means more to me than it did then.
They were great for few albums, and then Layne Staley just self-destructed.
I love their harmonies.
Yeah. One of those great bands with an excellent lead singer and a great guitarist backup singer who is good enough to have been the lead singer but isn't. It's like System of a Down.
Yeah.
Where like Darren and Serge.
Oh, God, they're such a good pair.
Yeah.
You split them apart.
They're not as good.
Well, Darren's really good.
Darren is still really good because Darren...
Stars on Broadway was amazing.
Darren is clearly the brains of the operation.
Right. Darren is the glue. Serge is like the sprinkles.
Yeah.
He's like the glitter. Oh, that, yeah, that lady.
I have no idea what her name is to
this
day.
She's got such a look.
She does. And she was in a ton of different things in the 90s.
What is her name in the movie?
Oh, in the movie? Sheila, I want to say.
Debbie?
Debbie.
Sheila Kelly is her actual name.
Oh.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Maybe you did know you forgot.
I probably saw it in the credits and it was Osmosis Tizzes.
Oh, she released a book called The S Factor, Strip Workouts for Every Woman.
Strip workouts? Does it involve stripping?
I would think so, yes.
That's hot.
She was in an episode of 30-something.
Does that help?
Does that help? She was in Soap Dish.
She was in Soap Dish?
Yeah, she played Fran.
I don't remember her being in Soap Dish.
Mm. She was in One Fine Day.
Yes, I knew that. She was George Clooney's ex.
She was in a movie called Santa Fe.
Wow. Was Christian Bale in it?
No.
Then I didn't want to see it.
Yeah, I've like not seen her in anything else.
Yeah. She unlocked his door for him. That's a sign.
That's a Bronx Tale sign.
It is.
Was that? That must have been on purpose. When did Bronx Tale come out? 90?
I think 91, so...
That's definitely related.
It's gotta be.
Oh, Cameron Crowe. I'm gonna look it up and go.
You're supposed to do it in a grunge song.
Oh, yeah.
Gonna look it up online. Gonna look it up online. Google.
All right, that was all right. Huh. Chris Cornell of Soundgarden and Audioslave saw a list of Citizen Dick song titles, all completely made up, which would appear briefly in the film, and decided to pen songs to match each title.
Really?
Seasons, Spoon Man.
What?
Yep.
Chris was a genius.
The band refused to do playback and performed live on set. Thank you, Alice Chaney. Wow.
What? Alice Chaney? Thank you, Alice Chaney, daughter of Dick Chaney, the former vice president.
Thanks, Alice Chains. That's something like a grandmother would say. Do you know that pen? Alice Chains, I bought you the cassette tape for Christmas. A proposed alternative title for this film is Come As You Are.
Oh. Interestingly, Nirvana is the one major grunge band that does not appear in the film.
Mm.
In any form. There's no songs of theirs.
Want to know what's weird?
What?
I was just reading trivia about that. They were supposed to contribute and they backed out.
Why?
Cameron Crowe wanted to use Imodium. He thought the song really belonged to the movie. They were working towards it. Crowe sent them a video cassette when Kurt Cobain was in Hawaii. Crowe told Rolling Stone in 2017 that he later heard that Cobain went to the premiere.
Wait, so why did they back out?
It doesn't say.
That's weird.
I thought it would tell me.
I guess because they were too big by then. They were like, fuck that. We don't have time for this.
Yeah, maybe.
The other three were just getting big. So they were like, yeah, this is awesome.
Mm. The single soundtrack was released 3 months before the film.
It's not that uncommon.
The purpose was to churn the waters for people to know that there was a movie.
Yeah. Since that style of music was getting so big, it was like, wait, there's a whole movie about this?
Right.
It's The Cult.
Glenn.
Glenn came up at the show tonight, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Did
you tell them that you have someone that can do some Glenn covers if they want them?
I did.
You did?
Somebody mentioned Glenn Danzig, I think, because there was one table that was really rowdy, and maybe it was the drummer who was like, we should do some Danzig. I was like, I will fucking absolutely get up there and do some Danzig. I do a pretty good Glenn Danzig. But then I said, someday, when my wife is at one of these shows, we're going to get her drunk, and she's going to do her Glenn Danzig impression, because it's un-fucking real.
Yeah!
Yeah! What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Diablo.
El Diablo.
Diablo Cabernet Sauvignon.
I am drinking Vitamin C Brewing. What is this one called? Grass is Always Greener, I think. Yet another juicy IPA. Earlier, I was drinking one called Au Jus. God, remember that shit? Waiting around for someone to call you?
Yeah, that sucks.
Thank God those days are over.
Yeah. No, I don't even have to try.
No, you won't stop calling me.
Justin, take out the trash. Justin, wash the floors.
Oh, my God damn it, woman. Fucking enjoying the 1 minute of quiet I have in my life.
What's Bridget Fonda up to these days?
No idea.
She related to Henry?
Yeah. She's one of the Fondas.
Is she Jane's daughter?
No, I don't think so. I forget who's...
Is Jane related to Henry?
Yes.
Okay.
I think Jane is Henry's daughter. Henry and Peter were brothers?
The last thing Bridget Fonda did was played the Snow Queen in a TV miniseries called The Snow Queen in 2002. Looks
really?
Looks a lot like Elsa.
That was the last thing she was in?
According to IMDb.
That's crazy. What's she been doing?
Look, she's Elsa in 2002.
Well, Frozen.
Disney?
Kelly, Frozen is based on like
a
folktale.
Disney stole it and they should go to jail.
Kelly, Disney steals everything.
Oh. Well, that was the last thing she was in.
That's crazy. What has she been doing?
I don't know.
It's Bill Pullman.
Hey, Bill Pulley.
This is one of the only roles that he's not terrible in. Gray keyboards and gray computers. Remember that?
Oh my God, I do.
Who decided that that shitty gray color was chic? It was awful.
I remember how like impressed I was when computers started to be black.
Yeah.
And I was like, that looks so slick.
That's so much cooler.
Yeah. How cool is that? And it's so smart too because, God, those gray ones, the keyboards, remember how gross
they
used to look?
They would get stained, yeah.
They looked just, so
they
gross.
They would turn brown.
Oh, like vomit gross.
Yeah. Blech. It was awful.
Bridget Fonda's dad is Peter Fonda.
Okay. Is Peter Fonda Henry Fonda's brother?
I think so. I'm looking right now.
And Jane is Henry's daughter. So Jane and Bridget are cousins. So Kira Sedgwick is super impressed by Steve because he's straightforward. He doesn't play any games. And then Steve is asking his friends all advice. And Bridget Fonda... What?
Do you know who Bridget Fonda's married to?
No.
You're gonna shit your pants.
Eddie Vedder.
Nope. It is a musician.
Kurt Cobain. No.
That did not deserve to be funny. Why I'm laughing.
Is it a musician I like?
It's a musician you like, but it's not the kind of musician you're thinking of.
Like a film scorer?
Yes. You're never gonna believe it.
It's not Danny Elfman, is it?
Yes.
What?
How did you even guess that?
I don't know. That was the first one that popped in my head.
Yep. It contributed to her retirement from acting. They got married in 2003. She spent time helping him raise his children from a previous relationship. And then she had a son in 2005.
Wow.
And she's maintained a very low profile since. And their kid that they had together regularly walks the red carpet with his dad.
So Steve went to his friends and they were giving him conflicting information. Bridget Fonda said, don't play games. She likes you because you're not playing games. Like, just do it. And everyone else is like, no, you have to play the game. You have to wait
a
certain amount of days.
Young people are so stupid.
Yeah, they are. So he waited 4 days to call her, like an idiot.
And then you do the thing where you're like, well, then I'm not going to talk to him because he waited so long to call. And then like 6 days go by.
I once accidentally waited 13 days to call a girl.
Accidentally? What accident happened that made you wait 13 days? Did you break a hip?
No. So I met this girl at a gig. So... not at one of my gigs, but I was out seeing a band that we were friends with. So we hit it off, and I was like, oh, I'll call you. And then a few days later, I had a blind date. So I was like, well, I don't want to call someone and then go to the blind. I don't know why I had this rule in my head. So I didn't call her before the blind date. The blind date didn't go well anyway. And then by the time that was over, I had completely forgot. I was like, oh, shit, I meant to call her. Fuck. So I finally called her, and she was clearly not happy that I waited that long.
Yeah.
And I never saw her again.
I can't remember if in P&I world, I've told the story about the time that a guy called me like 3 weeks later on a Sunday morning just to give me shit to say that I told you I'd call.
Because that was when you were driving home from my apartment, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. No, it wasn't like that, people. We weren't dating yet.
No, we weren't dating, but you had crashed there because we were all drunk.
Yeah, I was extremely hungover. Yeah. And I was on my way home, like, you know, totally in love with Justin undercover.
Undercover,
I wasn't allowed to be.
Well, the feeling was more than mutual.
But I had this glow. I was like, hang out with the shots, and I think he's likes me.
I got to stay at his place.
I'm pretty sure his girlfriend's going to murder me. And then my phone rang, and I was like, hello? He's like, oh, hey, it's me, you remember, from the bar.
We met out 3 weeks ago, and we never saw each other again.
And I was like, okay. He's like, oh, I told you I'd call. And I was like, all right, hi. And he's just kind of like, oh, like, am I going to see you the next time the band comes?
No.
And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, okay. And then it was just like lots of awkward silence because he had nothing planned beyond told you I'd call.
Yeah. Smart. Have a game plan, dumbass.
Yeah. What kind of video is it supposed to be?
A dating video.
Oh. Oh, she is versatile. She can fly and smoke.
She can fly and be slutty.
She can be awkward and sexy. I know a lot of women like that, actually.
Yourself?
Yeah, I've been there. I've been to both of those towns.
And there's Eddie. Jeff Ament.
Oh my God, Eddie's a baby.
Yep. And Stone Gossard.
That's his real name?
Apparently.
That's a great name. His parents were like, we're going to name this kid Stone Gossard, and he's going to be one of the founders of the most important rock music that's ever happened. Stone Gossard. So he's there at the Boob Doctor?
He took her to the Boob Doctor.
Boob Doctors! That should have been a band. 1, 2, booby stand before you. Bill Pullman's a butt.
What?
Doesn't he grope her?
No.
You know what? Good for Bill.
Good for Bill. He's a nice man.
Good for Bill being a
stand-up. He's a thoroughly decent man.
Oh, no. He talks her out of it, right?
Yes.
That's right. He's the opposite of a perv.
I knew it was either sexual assault or he talks her out of it. I couldn't decide which one.
It's either he's a total scumbag or he's the hero of the movie.
That's a bad line.
His Miss Maybe.
Yeah. Are you his Miss Writer or are you his Miss Maybe?
You know what else is bad?
What?
The symmetrical brooches on her jacket.
Yes.
Pick one or the other, lady.
They represent her symmetrical boobies that she wants.
Oh, my God.
What?
He should have grabbed those and gone, honk, honk. I don't even know what kind of joke that is.
A stupid one.
I knew it would make you laugh.
But it was funny.
You know what I'm not proud of, except what? So proud at the same time?
That you can make me laugh with dumb jokes?
That I say really stupid things and they make you laugh. And then like half of me is like, I'm really funny and I can make Justin laugh. And the other half of me is like, why do I say these things?
If they interviewed me in a comedy magazine, they'd be like, remember Matt Dillon's character in Singles? That's you.
Oh no, that's an insult. I always had a little crush on Bill Pulley.
Bill Pulley?
Yeah. Billy Pull. Both of those sound filthy.
Billy Pull.
Those are both terrible porn names.
Billy Pull. Jeremy Piven.
Wow, he had a bad hairline even then.
Well, he got fake hair. Like, he was bald for a while, and then when he got really famous, he got, I don't know if it was plugs or what, but.
Yeah.
Isn't he supposed to be a dick in real life?
Oh, yeah, he's a terrible, awful person.
Why?
Like I think he's just a flying douche.
Like, treats people who work for him like shit?
I think so. And, like, is not great to women. And now, I don't want to slander him, so I'm going to look it up and make sure that I'm remembering
Jeremy Piven, is this true?
But I do believe he has a bad reputation.
Jeremy Piven, if you're actually a dick, comment on this video and tell us.
Oh, God. He's a known womanizer.
Oh!
Earned a reputation in the tabloids for allegedly being a rampaging womanizer, according to the Rolling Stone. Oh, he says he was collateral damage of the Me Too movement. That's gonna go over well.
Jesus, dude. Yes.
According to him, the Me Too movement has gone too far.
Way to marginalize actual victims of sexual assault by claiming yourself as a victim of the movement empowering victims of sexual assault.
In Piven's mind, journalists have escalated the movement in order to garner more clicks on their articles.
Uh-huh. Well, he's presenting his super train idea to the city officials to try to reduce traffic and emissions. He was so ahead of his time. That Scott. She's preggers.
She's eating a chili dog. She's getting proposed to. She's single and pregnant. She is living the life.
That's the dream. to have a guy propose to you because he knocked you up. Back in the 50s, that was the dream. Mm-hmm. At least. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, he knocked you up and then he proposed to you? Grab him. Oh no. Kaboom. Stop badgering her. Are you all right? Are you all right? Are you all right?
Justin, he's not thinking clearly. They've just been through
it. I know. That's a pretty heavy swerve that has been pulled on your very young relationship.
Yes.
I knocked you up and then we got in a car accident and you lost the baby and now we're just supposed to proceed from here?
Right.
Fuck.
It's a dead stop. It's like, mm-hmm. you kind of feel like you know the direction your life is going in.
Right.
And then everything changes.
So now
how do you deal with that?
Well, now she's going on an Alaskan research. Research?
What is her job?
I forget.
Research, probably.
Greenpeace type thing. Environmental research, I think. He put a stereo system in her car. Watch. Hi, Chris. He was a beautiful man. Oh my God, the stereo is so loud. It's breaking her windows. Oh, Jesus, Cliff, you fucked that up too. What an asshole.
They put a phone in the bathroom. That was where they went
wrong. That was a poor idea.
Or is it just a phone booth? Maybe it's just a phone booth.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's the punchline of this scene.
I thought he was going to say, the dolphins, the whales, the Coast Guard.
He should have said, you complete me. There was a shot of him in the audience just being like,
I saw it, yeah.
And what I was going to say is, Campbell Scott, you are in the presence of Chris fucking Cornell, and that is your facial expression? How dare you?
Come on.
How dare you?
Get your head out of your ass.
You got to be there in Seattle when it was all happening, and that's how you look? Fuck you. Ah. Look, it's Tom Skerritt.
Hello, Mr. Skerritt. Hello, Mr. Mayor. He is a long-term resident of Seattle.
Is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did.
From IMDb?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I did. You didn't know that? Everyone knows that, Justin, you fucking idiot.
About 30 minutes ago.
You call yourself a movie buff? Fuck you.
You call yourself a Tom Skerritt fan? Does anybody?
You call yourself a fan of Singles or Seattle or movies or Campbell Scott or Tom
Skerritt? You call yourself a ferret? That's what his fans call themselves.
You should go shit on your whole life.
He has a fan club and they're called the Ferrets.
The Ferrets. His project got turned down by the mayor.
Oh, turned down with a smile?
The mayor has no vision.
Who does a thumbs down like this?
I don't know.
Does his fist not close? Did he get in some kind of fist accident? I don't even know what that means.
A fist accident. At the club, Soundgarden rocked his ass so much that his fist broke. Look. Mr. Andrews, he loves her earrings. Debbie's getting flowers like it's her job. Debbie's getting flowers from that Mr. Andrews. He likes her earrings. Now they're going to Mexico. Oh, yeah. See? Oh, Steve has hit bottom.
Uh-oh.
Look at his apartment. It's
a morass.
It's a morass of takeout and takeout menus. There's almost no need to leave the house. That's especially true now.
Yeah. That line works really well.
Steve had no idea how right he was.
He is a visionary.
He's well ahead of his time. So he wanted to create a super train that would reduce carbon emissions. And he also realized that in modern society, you don't need to leave the house. He is a 2020 man.
Yeah. He was a man ahead of his time.
Jesus, Scott. You figured this shit out. Oh no, Kira Sedgwick is realizing.
She dropped a plate and she's really sad. And then she remembered the time that they broke a plate. And she sat on the floor and she thought about it. And she was like, oh wait, I wish I was him with him now.
I wish I was him? Jesus. That's a very weird realization. You know what? I'm not so much in love with him.
In the last few minutes.
I'm in love with the idea of being him. I want to create the super train that gets turned down by the mayor. I have a hairy ass chest. Oh, Cliff left her.
God, he's an idiot.
Music message, a very bad one. You know, Cliff, just sitting there strumming the G chord over and over is not going to win her back. Mm-hmm. I hope you know that.
Yeah.
Janet is not impressed by the G chord. Any schmuck with a guitar can play a G chord. Get real. Show me an A-flat 7, motherfucker.
What does that even mean?
What? That's a chord. What do you mean?
What's the 7 have to do with it?
It's part of the chord. She came back to Steve, who hasn't showered in several weeks. And she's like, oh, God, you smell awful. You smell like pizza.
Hey, Steve. How much pizza you had?
Hey, Steve, are you literally sweating pizza? No. No.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
We're not banging until you take a shower.
We're not going to bang on the pizza couch. Who are these voices?
Just random voices in Seattle. Saying, I love that girl. I could see myself spending the rest of my life with that girl. This is super cool.
Girls, girls, girls.
Long legs and burgundy lips.
Gets me every time.
I should have been a Motley Crue.
Yes, you should have. Should have been born at a different time, in a different place.
Different place.
Still play guitar.
Still play guitar. So what did you think of the movie?
Yeah, it's a good movie. I like it.
It's fun.
It is a good encapsulation of the kinds of things you go through in your early 20s.
In your single years.
Yep.
Set against the backdrop of a great musical movement.
It's an angsty city with angsty music, with people at an angsty age, in angsty scenarios.
I mean, it was like this movie could have taken place in any location. Whatever, like yeah. It could have just been a run-of-the-mill early 90s rom-com, but he decided, because Cameron Crowe is a huge lover of music and grew up covering music, that he was like, I'm gonna have it set against the hottest musical trend right now.
Yeah.
And it, like, that kind of makes the movie for me, is it takes me back to that era again and makes me want to experience it again.
Yeah.
And I've said this before, I feel like grunge was kind of the last really organic rock and roll movement. Everything since has been somewhat engineered, I feel like.
Yeah.
So in summary, per my previous email, I would just like to convey once again that it is very important that you respond to me before the end of the business day, or else I will be forced to terminate your contract, throw your stuff out in the snow, and piss all over it.
What?
I'm sorry. I was thinking about work again. What I meant to say was, good movie, glad I finally finished it.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.